You are now listening to Extra Time with Dan and Chris from the Sports Heads. Gotta love a little extra time.
Welcome, everyone, to a special edition of the Extra Time with my lovely peeps. But first of all, before we start, I have to just say, and I'm, you know, use my R&B voice, slow, steady, because it's International Women's Day. And I'm happy because, you know what, I think one thing that needs to be talked about is the impact that women have in our everyday lives and society. But first of all, before I go into that, before I digress, I have to, you know, open the floor to my peoples, my families, my people from another mother, from the other oceans, and Carly, who's just, you know, basically people that don't know about this, but me and Carly are secretly engaged, you know, on the show, not in real life, but secretly on the show engaged. Anyways, we'll move into this. How are you doing, Carly? How are you, Chris?
Well, I'm shocked. Is it that much of a secret that I don't even know about it?
Of course. You're about to learn, innit?
Listen, you are both my work husbands, my podcast husbands. I love you both equally. We have been through this. I know you don't like that, Dan. But I will happily have two husbands. I don't know if Chris's wife will be happy about that, but hey. I am well. I am enjoying International Women's Day. Shout out to all the beautiful women around the world. And thank you for the lovely intro with your R&B sexy voice there, Dan. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was definitely for you, Carly. I sat back and I just let Dan serenade you as he was talking. It was almost like it was International Carly Day. That's what it felt like just now. You know?
Oh, listen,
I agree. You're the woman on the show, and it's International Women's Day. So we want to say, first off, before we shout out to others that have influenced us, we want to say thank you for your knowledge and your intake, and obviously adding a little flavor and good looks to the show. And we appreciate you.
Girl brings a flavor. I will take that any day.
Yeah, I think one thing we need to talk about is just obviously we'll just start off with the program talking about, I guess, you know, it is International Women's Day. We want to sort of highlight the contribution and achievements of females in the field of sports, but also in the field of society. I think one thing that is sometimes overlooked is just how much of the achievement and how much influence and how much just greatness that women bring to society, bring to everyday life, and it's sometimes overlooked. And, you know, International Women's Day is a time for us to recognize their achievements. But I think just like with anything else, like Black History Month, I think one thing that needs to be talked about is that we shouldn't just have a month or a day for this. It's a day that should be celebrated every single day. Half the population on this planet are women. And I think we need to stop over. I think we in society, and I say men, should put more praise and thanks to the fact of their contribution and their voices. You know, they always say that, you know, women make better leaders. You know,
hell yeah.
And I think there's some truth to that. But yeah, I mean, Carly, as a resident female of the show, you know, just give us a little sort of a minute or two, sort of, I guess, a female person, whether in sports or in life or in society, whatever, that really sort of, you know, influences you or inspires you, and just give them a shout out.
Oh, wow. Put me on spot there. I don't know if I can pick. Like, if you went to sports, I would probably say Serena Williams without a doubt. But I think if we're talking basketball in general as well, I think the women's NBA has been amazing, especially over the last couple of years and what they've done, bringing awareness to a lot of topics that mean something to them. But in general, I just think there is a lot of women coming up, especially the last sort of 10 years, taking their place, doing better things, not just in sports, in corporate companies, women opening businesses, women writing books about things, women, you know, starting movements. And I think it's important. But I would hope we get to a day or a time where it's not just like, oh, look at this great woman leader. I don't want to hear if it's a woman or a man. I just want people to be recognized for what they do as well. So I hope there is a time we get to a place where it's, we don't have to just recognize what you are by gender, and women are doing well today. It's like we've been doing well for years. So it is very nice to have a day about it and to recognize what great things women do. But I hope there's a time where we're not addressing a leader because they're a woman. Like, they are a leader because they are a leader. And I hope we do get to that time eventually. But, you know, I think that for me, there is loads of women I look at or see stories about or hear podcasts that they do. And they're doing great things and they're bringing more recognition to certain areas or movements or matters. So I think, yeah, if you were to go with sports, my number one would definitely be Serena Williams, without a doubt.
Okay. And Chris, you want to sort of maybe give a shout out to anyone out there for you as well?
Oh, yeah, on International Women's Day, I have to actually give a big shout out to the person with the most integrity, probably the most vigorous leader that I know is my mother, you know, and as much as she's quiet and she might be dainty and so on and so forth, when it comes down to the crux of life, when it comes down to things that matter, when it comes down to the crossroads of life, right or wrong, indifferent or not, she always stands for firm and always seems to make the right decision. And that's one thing you can really look back, because even as children, we could always look back at our parents and say, man, you had a choice here or there, and you could have done this, that, or the third. And I could always look back and say, man, she, either when decisions were tough or whatnot, she's always made the right one for the beneficiary of everyone, you know? So I would have to say that number one person I would say is my mom. Other women that I do look up to, I do look up to strong women, because that is what I was surrounded by, whether it's my aunts and my grandmother and also my mom. So women that take the bait. I was actually a fan of Hillary Clinton, and maybe not people can fight her politics, but just being able to be a bulldog in that arena and being able to rise to the heights that she was able to rise to, I thought that was very noble of her. And it opened the doors for Kamala Harris right now to possibly have an easier time to slide in. It always seems like possibly the best fit always has to get knocked down for the next one to be able to get through, because they couldn't do the same. I don't feel they could have done the same sexist things as much as they could, as much as they did to Hillary, because it was almost like, well, we can't have the same playbook. So you almost have to have a martyr somewhat for others to get through. And I think Hillary did that in the politic game for the likes of Kamala, and who knows what can happen moving forward. Of course, the Michelle Obamas, we've already mentioned Serena Williams, and obviously the ones that have, I like to shout out the ones with longevity, you know, the Oprah Winfreys of the world, and we've seen for a long time been doing this. And also those in sports, Hannah Storm, and those faces, the Pam Olivers, I think those are the women that we've seen for a long time actually do it. I know a lot of times we like slogans, women, but what about those that have been doing it and been in the grind and been dealing with it and been the pioneers for it? So shout out to them. You know, I know this is a new age of the independent women and women having way more rights and being way more outspoken, and I love it, and way more leaders. But shout out to those that paved the way, some of the martyrs, you know, some of those that probably don't get spoken about, but led the way for those, for the Carly J's of the world, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, I think for me, I think the biggest shout out is just to have, like I said, I think there's too many times in history where females' voices, women's voices have been marginalized in society. And hopefully that, you know, as we go forward, as we hit 2021, you know, we just have to keep fighting and to ensure that that doesn't continue, that doesn't exist. I think there is power in diversity. There is power in diverse voices. And I think for me, one thing that needs to be recognized is just also education, better education on how men can be better supported and better in terms of supporting, you know, sort of progress in that way. Because I think sometimes, too often it's been a boys club, or too often it's misogyny, and men need to be educated better on that response. But yeah, I mean, for me, if we're going to kick, since it's a sports show, we'll keep in the context of sport, really biggest shout out is Serena Williams. I think it's overlooked just how much she's done for the sport, how much she's done for black individuals, for how much she's done for black girls, how much she's done for women across the board. And I think sometimes, you know, there is a saying I heard recently, misogynoir, which is basically, you know, misogyny and like sort of racism putting together in one. I think sometimes that is difficult that people don't recognize just how hard it is to one fight for one race and now gender. So shout out to Serena Williams, because obviously what she's been able to do, what she's been able to achieve in her career, she's in my mind the best tennis player of all time. You know, you can make an argument, and I'm not saying that across best, you know, female tennis player. No, she's the best tennis player in my mind as well. So shout out to Serena Williams in that respect. But yeah, we are going to start off the show with basketball. Obviously, look, we are fresh off the weekend, NBA All-Star weekend. There is a lot to talk about. We'll talk about the game and Dame and Steph just going back and forth, almost like a three-point competition on who can shoot for the furthest. We'll talk about the dunk contest. But I guess, first of all, guys, just give me your overall thoughts on All-Star weekend, considering the situation, obviously, that was present with the fact that there was no real proper live fans. You know, we talked about whether or not they should have had it in the first place. But give me, Carly, start off and give me your thoughts on the All-Star and your sort of highlights.
I was looking forward to it. I thought it was going to be an amazing, amazing show. And then I think the whole letdown came when we got the news about Ben and Joel Embiid not being able to play, them not being replaced. It was like, oh, for God's sake, NBA, you think of everything and you didn't think to have a couple of reserves there. I don't know. I just think it got down to the last minute, and you could tell even last night that it wasn't as excited. It wasn't as jam-packed as it usually was. It felt very rushed. Like, yeah, it was good to watch. I did enjoy it. But I was devo for, like, KD, his team. He didn't have the players he was meant to have there. LeBron even only played 13 minutes of the All-Star game. Like, he sat down. He was like, I'm out. I'm resting. It was nice to let the others play, but you could just see the energy was not there. I didn't have the same excitement watching it. Should they have done it? I feel like the hype and everything didn't match up to it. They should have just let it go this year. But yeah, I still enjoyed watching it. It just wasn't as entertaining as it usually was. The no crowd there. I felt like they were back in the Orlando bubble having a fun game on the weekend. So yeah, it just wasn't. I don't know. What did you guys think? Because I just didn't get the same excitement watching it.
No, I got to disagree, Carly. I don't know, man. I like the whole. The night, everything in one. I thought the skills challenge was a nice warm up. The fact that the big guys won and Chris Paul missed the layup and the point guards didn't win. I thought that was pretty exciting. 3-point contest came down to the last shot. Carly, what are you talking about?
I'll get into each contestant. I'm just saying overall.
I figured Dan was talking about overall night. So overall,
yeah, the whole thing. What did you think about the whole thing?
That's what I'm. Yeah, the whole thing overall. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a good Saturday night on your couch if you didn't have anything to do. I thought that the NBA did as much, and they did as good as well as they can. Especially shout out to them supporting HBCUs and the frontline workers, you know. And then they had the fan stands kind of like in the bubble. It was a bubble atmosphere, but they did have fans in the stands. We just weren't able to see them and so on. So I thought the game probably wasn't as exciting as we wanted it to be in terms of like it being competitive. But obviously with Ben Simmons being out and Joel Embiid, and obviously Kevin Durant's team seems to just be depleted in terms of talent and size. I thought the guys from Team LeBron put on the show. I thought they put on the show for both teams. I don't think I can remember a single highlight that I can say from Team Durant other than Zion missing like 3 consecutive dunks. And that's not really a highlight. That's like a low light. But everything else came from Team LeBron, whether it's Steph versus Dame, or CP3 catching the alley-oop, or even Giannis going 16 for 16. It's so many storylines from Team LeBron. Maybe Guru Dan can find a storyline for Team Durant. I'm not sure. But I felt that the overall night was pretty solid. But we're not going to even get into Saturday night with the hip-hop guys doing whatever the hell that was. That wasn't even, I don't know what that was. We're not going to get into that.
So my highlight of, I think the highlight was just Steph and Dame going back and back in the game. And then Dame, you know, getting this, the final buzzer beater sort of 3 points. Well, not really buzzer beater, but, you know, last shot of the game sort of. I think it was just fun. I think it was a fun contest. I think the 3 point contest, and we'll talk about that in a second, went a lot closer than I thought it would. If I'm being honest, I thought, I mean, Steph started off with 31 points and it was really a close. It wasn't as I thought Steph would just probably walk away with it. And it was really, really, really close. So I think that for me was probably that and sort of Steph and Dame just on the court together. Playing together, I thought was quite nice. So, yeah, I mean, Carly, we'll start off with actually with that since I talked about that. What are your thoughts on sort of the three point contest?
3 point probably was my favorite of all the little, you know, the little contest things they do. I was so hyped for Mike Connolly. Like, I really thought he did such a good job. To come down to the last ball, for Steph to win it only by 1 point, like you said, I thought Steph was going to own that, like he would have blown everyone out of the water. But to come down to him and Mike Connolly, I thought Mike gave him a really good run and just showed why he is an amazing player and why he should have been in the All-Star from the get-go. So yeah, to come down to that last ball of Steph's where they literally thought he wasn't going to get it, I think he got 28 and Mike was 27 in that last round for him to take it. So I think that probably was the most, like, I liked that. 3 point was probably my favorite of the actual night.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the 3 point contest was like I said before, I was very interested because I think Steph set himself in such a high esteem. I think when we think about the three point shot, it's Steph Curry. You know, he revolutionized everything. He's changed everything. He's he's basically the GOAT when it comes to shooting. And so, you know, we don't expect him, you know, there was a video of where he made like 105 or 100 plus threes in a row. So we don't expect him to, if someone told me beginning of the night, Mike Conley would go toe to toe with Steph Curry, I think, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, out of your mind. And he did. And I think, you know, obviously it was a game. I don't know whether it was a pressure in terms of trying to get as many shots in terms of timing, but whatever it was, or for whatever reason it was, Steph didn't. He looked vulnerable.
He didn't annihilate them like I thought he was going.
Yeah, he looked vulnerable. And I think that was the most shocking thing about the contest, where it's like, yeah, I know he was dancing. Yeah, he got 31 points, which was nice. But, dude, I mean, yeah, when he got the 31 points, it's like, mate, Steph, I've seen you make these, like, and you don't really miss. And so it was just a little bit weird that it happened the way it did. So maybe it was just, you know, playing to the crowds. I don't know, you know.
Do you think he was playing to the competition?
Maybe. Maybe. I think
sometimes you play to the competition, kind of like if you have like a number one seed and they lose to the number eight seed for the first game, and you're like, all right, cool. So you might have played. But I think he put on a show. I think there was times where his unbelievable skill set was on display, whether it was when he was hitting eight in a row. I think out of the Mountain Dew balls, the four Mountain Dew balls, he hit three of them. Mm. You know, a very impressive three-point shooter. I thought, in fact, maybe he wanted a little drama, you know, by hitting the last shot to win the whole thing. I thought that was pretty incredible. And I thought that was obviously my favorite event of the night also. Yeah, so I feel that other than a couple of highlights in the game, Steph doing what he did and showing – and what was great also is that he continued doing it in the game. He didn't get tired. There was a whole lot more bullets left in that gun. Like he told Reggie Miller. So the fact that Dame Time, can't get his name wrong. You know, as him and Dame Time got
criminal.
Hello? Yeah,
criminal. You know,
I can't mess that up. I got it wrong, man. They're gonna kill me for that. You know, Dame Time came through, and the fact that he closed it out 3 point, I think it was fitting because we knew one of them was gonna do it. And Steph had the first shot, he missed it. It was Dame's turn. And it was Dame Time, and he ended that. And I thought it was fitting. I like the All-Star game. I know Carly doesn't think it was entertaining or anything like that.
I do think it was entertaining. I just didn't think it was up there with everything. But yeah.
But Carly, do you think you had high expectations because of that? Do you think you came into the thing with thinking it was going to be an original, you know, how an all-star weekend like it was before?
No, I didn't actually have that high expectations. So it kind of met what I thought anyway. I actually preferred, like, don't get me wrong, I loved the actual game. And the second quarter was epic, watching Steph and Dave. I think the second quarter was the best, of Dame and Steph going back and forth, 3 for 3. Like, it was like a tennis match watching those two play. There was no one else on the court at that time. So don't get me wrong, I did like it. I just think there was a bit of a... I wish the other team had players to make it more of a... It was like watching LeBron's team just play. So I wish Durant's team had have been all there to give it a good run for their money. But anyway, look.
The team was still stacked. You know, give some credit. Nah. You guys are like, oh, I wish they had this. And I was like, hey, they still had players.
Yeah, I know.
Steph and Dave.
They didn't have two or three of their best players. Like, but Durant and Embiid, I was Devo, they didn't get to play. And I wanted Booker too as well. So, but yeah, look, I think for me, the three-point contest was into the most entertaining bit. You know, the skills contest was all right. If you want to, you know, look at that. It wasn't.
Carly does not sound impressed by the skills challenge.
Do you know what? I was impressed. It was Sabonis and Vucevic as the last two, and I actually was happy for Sabonis because he was runner up last year. So I was happy he got it this year because he isn't as talked about in the league. So to see him and Vucevic as the two finals for that, you know, give them credit. You know, they were a bit underrated. To be in the All-Stars. So the fact that he took home his trophy after being runner-up last year, I was happy for Sabonis.
All I know is Sabonis, people need to throw some more respect on Sabonis' name. Sabonis is a dog. He's a top player.
That's what I'm saying. So I think there was some bits that stood out for me. I'm a hard girl to impress sometimes.
Damn.
I see that. Damn. I don't know. Dan, you sang to her this morning and she's still hard to press. I don't know what's going on, man. We gotta come with another song,
man.
We try to soften her up, and she's like, nah.
No, listen. I watch a lot of basketball. I probably watch too much. I need to stop watching some of the games so they actually impress me.
I don't know. I think the second half of the season definitely will start to impress you. You know.
What did you guys think of the dunk contest? The youngins bringing it out.
It was nice. It was nice.
See, you don't sound impressed now either.
I mean, I was impressed with the three-point contest. I was impressed with the game. I was impressed with the skills challenge because I like my boy Sabonis. But, I mean, there wasn't any dunk that was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I thought.
It wasn't like that, which is fair enough.
If Anthony Simmons kissed the rim, that would have been talked about. That would have been going viral. But the fact that he kind of, you got to put your grill on. Got to put your grill on the line.
He did air girl smooches to the rim. I think he was probably more worried about smashing his teeth. But I thought that was an okay dunk. I thought actually Obi's dunk over his dad and Julius Randle was the best of the night. But obviously, Anthony got it instead. But yeah, he's the first Portland Trailblazer to ever win the dunk contest.
I thought taking it off 12 feet. I mean, I do agree with some of the guys. He should have went and got it. Like, if he was able to grip it with his palms and really put, like, some pressure down on it, that would have been solid. But he went and got that, the kiss at the rim. Well, out of everything, I don't think they got it wrong. Obi Toppin definitely was up there, but he missed a couple of dunks first, you know, and obviously it's like he's the tallest one in the camp. So, you know, for that to happen, I think really slided his win. But all talented guys. We finally got to know their names. A lot of these guys, I didn't even know who they were, to tell you the truth.
I didn't know Cassius. I knew the other two. But yeah, these youngins did all right. But I think out of all the dunks over the years, you're not going to remember this year's. Like, you're not going to be talking about them, like, you know, Dwight's Superman dunks, Vince Carter's, Kobe's. You're not going to be talking about last night's dunks.
Nah, and remember, it was done at halftime, too. So it was almost like a little bit of a spectacle. So, yeah, I like the way it was formatted for this year due to everything that's going on. But moving forward, we're going to get back to our weekend. And, of course, Atlanta, and if you know anything about here, Atlanta was on fire, you know, and so hopefully the COVID and it's not going to happen anymore. Hopefully it's calmed down, but it didn't look that way over there. It looked like it was crazy.
So hopefully
everyone
crazy.
Gets home safely.
Yeah, true. To be fair, but the actual game itself, I know you guys are not liking what I'm saying. I did like mm-hmm. the game. I just didn't think it was up there as much. Watching Steph and LeBron get to play together for the first time ever on a team, I was happy for them. They looked happy together playing. Apparently, both born in the same hospital from a
quad.
I was happy to see them play together. And obviously, Dame and Steph were just entertaining completely.
How about this whole new... I mean, LeBron and Steph have been rivals for a solid three... What was it? A three-year run?
Yeah.
With the Cavs versus the Warriors. I mean, some heated rivalries, a lot of banter going back and forth. And then the first time they were able to play together. And they're still rivals in the conference. They really cherished it. It's crazy to see the change in how the NBA family on the court actually embraces each other when they're actually teammates and know how
together,
to be rivals. Yeah.
Yeah, when you're together, you're always teammates. When you're rivals, you're rivals. And I actually loved seeing them play together. Like, they just had chemistry. Like, they looked like they were having fun last night. They would be amazing on the same team in a season. That would be incredible.
Would anybody love that? I saw a couple memes come in and out talking about how it would be special. And would this team be dangerous in this, that, and the third? And I'm like, hey, don't even think about it. If Kobe Bryant couldn't get Chris Paul, then LeBron James don't need any more help.
That's it. They were amazing. And you think about it, this whole podcast, we've talked a lot about Dame, Steph, LeBron, what it was like. What do you guys think then about Giannis winning the MVP? Because no one's mentioned him yet.
Go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, well, he got the MVP for making threes. I don't know.
Well, like, he made 16 from 16. So
16 to 16, he had 35 points. He had the most points. I mean,
No one's mentioned. I think he played amazingly. He finally showed us he still got his MVP status from last year. It suddenly came back. But I realized none of us have mentioned it this entire podcast yet. So, like, what was your thoughts on that?
He doesn't go 16 for 16. He's not MVP. He goes 15 for 16. Dame or Steph is the MVP. Easy. And the fact that he goes 16 for 16 and he goes 3 for 3 from behind the arc, it wasn't all dunks and so on and so forth. I really think puts him over the top. Obviously, he had the most points. It's such a 3-point game. I felt like I was watching a 3-point for a large part of the game. So,
but that's what it's turned out to be, though. Now, no one's really going straight down to try.
I agree. So, what impresses me is when the guy shoots from half court. So, I'm looking at Dame and I'm looking at Steph. So, if we're gonna shoot threes, extend that thing. Let me see how you. Let me see if you really shoot. And those boys were shooting from out there.
So happy Dame got the game winner. Dame time. Like, it was almost like, shut up to all my critics. It was like, you all wanted to see me on the MVP. You didn't in the All-Star game. You didn't put me as a starter. Well, watch this. So I was just happy. That last shot, Dame was just like, I'm out.
It was a great way to,
I was happy for him. Because Steph
took a great middle finger to his haters.
Because Steph went to take the last shot and get a three, and he missed, and Dame got it. And I was like,
"You saw Steph wave."
Yeah.
Steph waved it. Steph did that twice. He predicted. He predicted two shots, his own and that one, prior to you know you're pretty good when that happens. His turnaround when he shot his three was pretty cool too. I mean, a lot of highlights happened in this game, and I thought I thought the NBA had something for us to talk about.
And exactly, and at the end of it, a lot of good money, obviously $1.25 million going towards the bronze charity, and they $500K going to Team Durant, even though they didn't win. For every assist made in the game, they gave $19,000 for a college scholarship or something to someone else as well.
And every dunk, I believe, also.
Yeah,
they gave money away.
At the end of it, a lot of good has gone to people that need it, for scholarships, for schooling. So, you know, that's, I think for me, at least, you know, there is something that was good that came out of it. And I hope there's not a lot.
Even though you weren't impressed with everything else.
No.
I know, right?
But I'm more worried about the aftermath and getting back into the regular season. So I am praying for, I'm praying for all their health, that we got no COVID coming back, that we can actually have a good season and not have a million games postponed in the next month. So pray they all get back home health safely, get back not in quarantine.
Well, I think with the vaccine, it's going to be a lot different now. Now that the vaccine is becoming more widespread, I think it's going to be a situation of where you're going to, it's not going to be a big situation. I think once you start to hit to March, end of March, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, let's hope, fingers crossed.
One thing I was disappointed, it was odd to see not one Miami Heat represented at the All-Star game. And I don't know the last time that happened. So that was a bit heartbreaking for me. But we gonna bounce back in this offseason, and I mean in this next half of the season, and show the league why we should have some All-Stars in the game, and go from there. So we got a vendetta to
maybe what's the trade deadline? Maybe you guys will pick up some pieces. Was it the 31st of March or the 13th of March? I don't even know what the trade deadline is.
I believe it's gonna be that's a great question.
I mean, have a look at you. Yeah, so hopefully Miami picks up some pieces. So that would be
speaking about picking up pieces, Brooklyn went ahead and picked
up. Yes, so we need to talk about that. So the next topic for the show would be Blake Griffin. What do you guys think of the fact that he's now gone to the Nets? Are you guys happy? What do you think? Do you think that this makes the Nets guaranteed to win the championship? Are the Nets the team to beat? In addition to the fact that they've got the big three, what are your thoughts, Chris? Start off with us.
I don't know what to make with them. I know Brooklyn's a good team when two of their stars are playing. You know, when they're all on the court, I believe it can get a little mucky. Defense can get a little weird. Assignments are blown. But when it's two of them and the rest of the team can flourish, I know they're pretty good. Now you're adding another piece to this, so I don't know whose minutes are going to get cut from now. From this, is Blake Griffin just going to be there to be ready for the playoffs, not really give them an impact? I don't really know what he brings to this team. I'm trying to find, like, what type, like, with the big three with the Heat, who is he to this team? And I'm wondering, is he Birdman? No, because he's not a guy that slashes and runs the floor and rebounds. Is he a Ray Allen? No, he can't really stretch the floor as much as he does. I'm not really sure what he does on this team, because he was a ball stopper on wherever he was, in terms of like backing down, having to stop, do his crisscross moves and try to get to the hole. And obviously, with his athleticism depreciating over his career, he's been stepping out to the three-point line, but he's not a consistent and great three-point shooter. It's not a Kevin Love that's much of a threat from behind a three-point line. So I'm not really sure how he fits in. He can probably just be like a decoy. He could probably fill in here and there. He could probably be a guy that they can dump the ball down into if someone gets double-teamed. I'm not really sure what he's going to do. I don't know if it's a positive or a negative. That's a real honest answer for me. I really don't know on this team that has so much firepower. Because if anything you would add to this team is somebody with some defensive prowess, and he doesn't have that either. So I really don't know what he adds to the team, other than he's a former All-Star that made a lot of money and he can kind of fit in with those guys at the same kind of country club. I really don't know what he brings to Brooklyn.
Carly?
Yeah, when I saw it, I was a bit like, huh? What? Like, I thought it was a rumor, or like, I was like, this isn't real. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, what are the Nets trying to do? Like, you made such a big show about getting your big three and getting Harden. You've got Harden now. You're actually playing well as a team. Like Chris said, when at least two of them on the floor, they really do mesh well. They've won their last few games before the break. So I was like, okay, Nets are cool now. And they've gone and signed Blake Griffin. I was like, what? Why? My thought was as well, why are they not signing someone for defense? Like, I know Blake can be a little versatile in terms of what he does, and he has played well in the past, but it was just like a Nets, you've got money to burn over there. What are you guys doing? Like, what do you want, a big four, big five? Like, like, what are you guys trying to do? I did not think he was going to go there. Like, it was a bit of a shock. I was sort of thinking, where is he going to go? I didn't know if even like Miami. Miami's got talks about trading people. I was like, no, he wouldn't go to Miami. He wouldn't go to Nets. So we'll see. Let's, like, at the end of the day, Nets have proved us, sort of, they've proved to be able to make things work of what they've done. This year they have, you know, they have come out with their big three, making it work. There was a lot of criticism around it. So I'd be interested. I'm not saying I'm opposed to this. I'm interested to see how it works. Just like Chris was saying, whose minutes going to be cut? What are they going to be doing? I want to see them play together. So,
and you just make Steve Nash's job just harder. I'm just like, you just add another piece into this rookie coach. You're like, oh, well, shoot, now I got to cut stuff. It's just like, I just don't think it's smart management. Personally, bringing that particular kind of ego and big personality.
Ego. Profile. Well, that's what, when I say big four, I'm more meaning about big four personalities. Like,
right, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. What more does the Nets want? Like, who are you going to sign?
Do you not
next?
Think that Blake's now been humbled with the situation in Detroit?
Nah, he's still, I think he's still sort of, he still thinks he's big in the league. I think he almost wanted to move to a team like that to be like, I deserve to be on a team like the Nets, not Detroit.
Yeah, he left Detroit, but he was still their number one option. You know, he was still the man. It's not like somebody came and took over and is like, oh shoot, we got us a new star, so we don't need Blake anymore. They bought him out, but he was still the number one option on that team. So,
and to consider as well, so the deadline is actually March 25th. So they do have a couple of weeks. They could have made, they could have brought another item or made another trade or another play. So considering it's not like night before deadline and they quickly wanted to get him, they've got time. So I'm interested to see, like, why? What was it so important to nab him now? Not like you needed, you didn't need him. You didn't need that piece. You are actually playing really well. So it will be interesting to see how they play him, with who, what plays does Steve Nash draw up? Because they have time, they're playing well, they didn't need him. So they wanted him. So that makes me go, why? What have you got in mind? If you don't need someone, you want them. So, well, yeah, exactly. I don't know. But there's lots of talks of trades coming. Like I said, they've got about 2 weeks till March 25th to make trades. So there's a lot of talk about other players at the moment. So I'll be interested to see as we go into the next couple of weeks, like the likes of Miami, who do they pick up? Who does Toronto let go? Lakers have got talk about making some moves. So we shall see.
See, I don't know. I think with the whole trade, I think it's a nice auxiliary piece, I would say. Do I know what...
Auxiliary piece. I like that word. I like that.
I think it'll be nice. I think realistically speaking, what Brooklyn need is defenders, and they don't have any. So I don't get the Blake. I don't really get the signing. I wouldn't say sort of trade because he's a free agent, but don't really get the signing. If I'm being quite honest with you guys, because I just don't see what value he's going to really add per se. I think he's at his last legs in terms of where he can be a really significant player. So I think it's a situation of, I think he needs to have a real honest look at himself and say, look, I'm not the player that I once was. This belief that I think, you know, it's very hard for athletes to come to that realization in their careers, to be like, look, actually, I'm not the same guy that I once was. I don't think he is. I'm not really too sure what Brooklyn were trying to do with that particular pick or sign in, I guess, because I don't really know. I don't see what he can add that will be any different to
I'm sorry, the only thing I can see him adding, honestly, is probably to the bench, because their bench was a bit tough.
That's what I'm thinking.
I mean,
yeah,
it was a bit defeated. I mean, and it'll be interesting to see if he even comes off the bench, you know. So, but if he came off the bench, maybe there'll be a little bit more fighting power, because I did see Steve Nash running those guys ragged, you know, when he was playing them, like a lot of minutes at the same time. So maybe Blake would kind of shore up their bench a little bit, but that's about it.
So he has played with DeAndre Jordan before, so they're back together. Maybe they will mesh well coming
off
the bench.
How long ago is that?
So I know. But I'm trying to see what the link is or why, what's he going to add. So we shall see.
I don't really know what he's going to add. So you're right. We are going to see. It's going to be one of those ones. And it's going to be interesting because obviously free agency is coming up to an end shortly. And so by the end of the month, we're going to know what the teams are going to look like going into the second half of the season. But before we round up, guys, let me know, are you guys still stuck on your sort of your preseason favorites and who you think is going to win? Or have you now, since the sort of first half of the season, changed your mind? Do you think Philly might potentially be the team to beat? Are you guys still stuck on the Nets from on the East and the West? What do you guys think? Utah sitting comfortably? Like, what do you guys think in terms of right now? We're halfway through.
I can't even remember who I picked.
I think it's either going to be Nets or Philly from the East and Lakers or Jazz from the West. So I think there's a bit
we never talk about Philly and we never talk about the Jazz at the beginning of the season.
Philly, I think, has done an amazing job, and obviously so has Jazz. They lost their last couple of games before the break, which I know they're hoping to come back just as strong as their previous performance. So I don't know what they're going to be like in a playoff situation, though. I think when it comes down to it, I think Lakers are still strongest in a playoff scenario. I don't know Philly that well in like their current state in a playoff scenario. But Nets are playing well there as well. So I think those four teams, it'll be interesting to see the others.
I think the Lakers are in a little bit of trouble, honestly, with Anthony. I think Anthony Davis being out for an extended period of time would prove detrimental, I think, moving forward, because they still seem like a team that seem to still need to mesh together with their role players and those new guys coming in, and him being out, and those guys still don't seem to have made the impact. Maybe on the second half of the season we'll see those role players. They did win their last two games. I know they went a little two-game winning streak since he's been out, so we'll see how that goes. And LeBron usually rides the ship, but we'll see where it goes from there. In terms of the East, go ahead.
I just got to keep my loyalty to the Lakers. I've got to believe.
Of course, yeah. I know you got to, but I
do agree. They are in a bit of trouble. They are.
Maybe a bit of trouble right now. So we'll see how King James navigates those seas. In terms of the East, I think Miami's gonna make a run. I think they're gonna run for second. I really think they can make the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't believe in Boston in terms of I still think Boston got worse, you know, since last year, and they haven't like proven me right. And I know they went on a little run. It seemed like a lot of teams went on a little run going into the break, but Boston's had their whole team. I just think that Miami's going to make a run. Philly is there, and I think they're the number one competition. And Brooklyn, how I feel about Brooklyn, man. Something about Brooklyn, I just feel like they got to prove it to me. And maybe that's just spite, because I'm really looking forward to Miami to really get this shit together and really understand that they know what they – and they've been there. This team, Brooklyn, that team has to still find their nucleus a little bit. But talent wins. So if Brooklyn does come out of the East, I wouldn't be too surprised, because when you give the ball to Kevin Durant or James Harden, they can go for 45 any night. Those are the things that you can't game plan for. So I would have to say yes to me, even though I don't want to. Brooklyn is the favorite in the East, because any one of those guys could turn it on at any moment. And you got to ask yourself, who can beat Kevin Durant 4 times out of 7? So,
yeah, I think that's the interesting question in terms of who can beat the Brooklyn Nets 4 out of 7 times. And could I see a team in the East doing that? Probably maybe Philly. I didn't include Philly. And I didn't include Brooklyn, even though they had those little sort of, even though they had KD and Kyrie. I kind of had Miami maybe potentially coming in. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think right now, I think people are sleeping on Philly. I know they're top. I know, you know, they've been getting plaudits, but I don't think they've been getting enough plaudits for their play and what they've been doing. So I think for me, I'm going to go with Philly. Mid-season pick be Philly. In the West, it's going to be the Jazz. You can't sit on top of the West with those players, with those playing what they're doing. Although, give a shout out to my dark horse of Portland and Dame. But I think the Jazz are the team to beat in the West at the moment. Now, the Lakers, like Chris said, they're still like a mismatch of players and I don't know what else that you can use to describe them. So you've got those situations. So yeah, for me, it's that's who I'm going to go for.
And massive shout out to the Knicks as well for sitting number 5 in the Eastern Conference at the moment. Like, if they make it into the playoffs, like, I know some people don't like it, but if they make it into the playoffs, they've done a big change in terms of, you know, what they've done in the last couple of years. So
we will
see this year. Yeah. Listen. I know you want Miami up there.
We will see.
About
that. We've had this situation with the Knicks before. But yes, we'll talk about the Knicks next week. So, guys, thanks for listening to on the show. As I mentioned in the last episode, we've got a little special competition running through now to the end of March, where we're trying to get to over 1,000 listeners and subscribers on our Apple Podcast and Spotify. So if we can get to 1,000 listeners, we'll be giving a special giveaway. So stay tuned for that as well for more information and more news. But on that note, remember to check us out at Extra Time Sports. Check us out on our pages on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just type in Extra Time. Make sure you just check out our Instagram page as well. But on that note, it's been a great show, and we will look forward to hearing from you guys. I look forward to speaking to my teammates again. Everything from International Women's Day, Royal Family, basketball, NFL, whatever it is, I'm down for it.
All of that.
Listen, it's all love. It's all love.
Yeah.
On that note, we out.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening to Extra Time. Please remember to subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Extra Time with Dan and Chris.